webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
How badass is that? Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, May 19th, 2010. The only second night of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive 2-0-10 ever. Let us make it a great one. Welcome in on this Wednesday night edition of GKO. As I said, night number two of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. I want to thank Mr. Robert Moore and Jeffrey Robertson for our very cool new intro. Very excited about that. Yes, things are looking up in the land of the Gospel Revolution. And now let us go to the head potentate of said revolution, the one and only, you know him, you love him, we could not live without him, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
That was very cool. I liked that.
Yeah, it's Robert took that off one of your teachings, and I guess you didn't even have to change your cadence. It sounds like you got a little bit of a rap cadence going on. You didn't know you had so much...
So much soul.
So much soul. So much cool.
So much rhythm.
Rhythm, that was the word I was looking for. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is night number two of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. We cannot stress enough that this is a moment of truth for this effort. We need your help financially. We have a goal over these 21 days as we enter week two, so we're in day eight of the pledge drive, 21 days to raise $20,000. That's obviously a little less than $1,000 a day. Right now, we are at $1,860.70 towards that goal of 20 grand. We've had people give $5 and up to hundreds of dollars. And so we want to thank everybody who's participated financially thus far. Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California. Roy Muse from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia in beautiful Canada. George Howell from Monongahela. That's not right.
Monongahela.
What is it?
Monongahela.
Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Matt Perry from Dublin, Georgia. Tressa Martin from Spokane, Washington. Tom Bernard from Hillsborough, Tennessee. Chris Myers from North Augusta, South Carolina. Dan Myers from Augusta, Georgia. Mary Kustra from Ellijay, Georgia. Mr. Greg Ambergy from Kings Mill, Ohio. James Pep Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Jerry Berman from Princeton, Florida. And David Johnson, the famous David Johnson from Belvedere, Illinois, totaling $1,860.70. And as we closed the last program, we had, I believe, $30 or so. No, we closed up on Richard Mull's $300 pledge of matching up to $300. And then yeah. Tressa made a pledge of $150 to be matched, and we got $30 into that. So we got $120 left to match on that, and we're asking for your help. So give us a buzz at 1-800-436-3260 if you are listening live right now, and it's a few minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America. That's your clue to call in. 1-800-436-3260. Give us a call and let us hear from you. We're looking for donations, large or small. They're all appreciated. They're all needed. For gifts, ladies and gentlemen, of $100 or more, whether they be in a one-time gift or in monthly pledges totaling $120 or more, you're going to receive all three thank you CDs that we are offering during this pledge drive. You're going to get Mike's teaching from Janesville, Wisconsin, the teaching that was done in the bar in Janesville, entire True Conversion. You're going to get Grant Miller's book entitled Think and Be Free. And you're going to get Kate Benham's new CD, her music CD, Eden in Me, which, of course, she conceived after hearing Mike's teaching that whole concept. And we just received a $20 gift from John Van Sickle.
Awesome.
So we're very thankful. John from Indianapolis, Indiana. And, you know, the thing about that list that I just read, Michael, is just incredible how varied and is our representation across the globe. We know this, but when you see it on paper, when you see it on a computer screen, it's pretty cool. And here comes John Van Sickle with a $20 gift from Indianapolis.
That's awesome. That's and, of course, that's a matching fund that Tressa had out there, so his 20 is a totals of $40 gift then. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we have lots to talk about tonight, folks. You know the financial needs of this effort are significant, and there are people that are listening who have often given or who have never given, and some people in between. But I think, Michael, it cannot be stressed enough. While obviously we are happy to receive larger donations, truly what we look for is people participating. There is nobody that is within the sound of our voice that can't afford $5 or $10 towards a message that by most accounts has been pretty dramatic and, to coin a phrase, revolutionary in people's thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would really, really encourage everyone, regardless of what your giving patterns have been in the past, that you do participate in this particular pledge drive. It is a very important one. You know, we get a lot done on very little, very precious little, actually. But we do get a lot done. The thing that I would like for everybody to consider is, as you're listening to this, as you hear this, that you please do something, anything, just participate. And we'd love to just see your name come up on the screen in an email or that you are participating in this particular pledge drive. Like I say, all of your gifts in the past, or if you've never participated before, this is a good time to start for sure. And it does make a big difference. Just in the last couple of weeks, I had just set a goal in my heart that before I die, I want to reach 1 billion people with the gospel. I thought, why not? You know, let's have a goal here. And it's not an unreachable goal, especially with the impact that the gospel has on people's lives. And that we don't, it is not a part of the doctrine that I teach, that now that you've got this, you've got to share it, as it was in evangelical Christianity. We were even taught that if you didn't have somebody to go into heaven with, that according to the book of Genesis, that God only let people in the ark two by two, that now, of course, they told us all you had to do is be born again. Then they told us if you didn't have at least one person coming with you that you led to the Lord, you weren't getting in. And then there was, if you don't tithe because you robbed God, and no robber, no thief will go to heaven. And therefore, the teaching in Malachi about robbing God with the tithe, that if you didn't tithe the full 10%, that you were going to burn in hell forever. It's just, they kept moving the goalpost on us. But we're glad to tell you that regardless, you've already, the field goal has been kicked. There has been a touchdown made for the entire planet. And don't expect me to do sports analogies that often. So
that was kind of shocking, actually.
It was a good one. And the whole team won. You know, all it takes is one doing it, then it's good for everybody.
It was a game-winning
touchdown, not everybody on the team had to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the game. It's a walk-off home run, if you will.
There you go. So yeah, it's even though there's nothing in the doctrine that I teach that requires somebody to share. Seems like we got a lot of people out there just can't keep their mouth shut. You know, they know there is no requirement to share, but there's just something so good about the gospel that they want to share, and they find opportunity to with the gospel in a lot of different ways. The barriers are down in your communication with other people when, and this is the thing that people have shared with me over the years, is that now they don't see anybody as less than or better than. You know, the thing that will stop you from communicating with others effectively or effectually, on any level, the thing that's going to prevent that is that you either see people as better than yourself or less than yourself.
Correct.
But when you see everyone as equal, you know, everything is open. The communication, and someone can feel, you know, you can tell when you're around somebody who feels inferior, and it makes it uncomfortable for the person that they are around if they feel inferior. It's also very uncomfortable to be around someone who feels superior in any way at all. But, you know, when you're around somebody who's just acceptant of people, who they are, where they are, and there is no either false humiliation or real humiliation. Some people really do feel absolutely humiliated by their own lives in the sight of God or superiority. It's always so evident. But people that have received that will find a lot of joy in sharing just because they want to.
Well, there's so much in what you just said that I'd like to comment about. But I need to back up because you started your comments with that you wanted to reach a billion people. Now, obviously, with the reach of this webcast and the availability of the internet, we're already there as far as potential
right.
listeners and understanders, if you will, of the good news. But how would you, when you think you have a goal in mind that you want to reach a billion people with the gospel, what would that mean to you? Or how would that manifest?
How would it manifest? Well, that's the thing, is that I don't have a clue. It's just doing what's at hand and having the power to do it. And the fact that, just like I said, is that the people who hear this gospel sure enjoy sharing it with others. And it will manifest just as a one-on-one. You know, it's one person sharing with another. And on and on and on, because the gospel, we don't have people going back into under the law, that's for sure. So the ability to do it is definitely there.
Yeah, but that's an interesting thing to talk about as far as what would happen. But when you say reaching a billion people with the gospel, what do you mean by that?
That a billion people would hear and understand that there is not an angry God, and that there is not a God demanding a performance, whether by law or by belief. That's what I want to share with people. If I only got to share with people that God is not angry, the rest of the dominoes will fall. Because I understand that once you convince somebody that God is not angry and show them why he is not angry anymore at all, it begs so many questions from there, Glenn. If he's not angry, why is he not angry? Well, God hates sin. How can he not be angry? Well, God doesn't see sin anymore. God dealt with sin through the cross. So there is nothing to hate.
And there's nothing to be angry about anymore.
There is nothing to be angry about. God's relationship with the human race was resolved and was completely unified in Christ, in one, altogether at the cross. There is no division, no separation. You don't have to pray God down. You don't have to get closer to God. There's no distance the doctrines that teach you how to close the gap of distance between you and God is simply inaccurate. In fact, they are basing that on a very false system that there is some distance of any kind between any human being and God. That is absolutely denying the work of the cross to infer that you can somehow bring God closer to you, whether you can pray him closer, worship him closer, give money to make him closer. Those doctrines are all completely erroneous. At best, they're completely erroneous. And
worst, they're diabolical.
They are diabolical at worst. And the damage that they can cause in the heart of a human being, when all that human being needs to know is the truth. And the truth is, you don't have to struggle to gain a relationship with God. You just need a revelation that you got one.
Yeah, and that everybody else has one too.
And everybody, and that's the only way. The only human on this earth that knows for sure that they are one with God is if they know that everybody is one with God.
Ooh, boy.
Because if there's any reason in your mind why anyone is not one with God, your own conscience will not let you believe that you are one with God, because your conscience will not allow you to accept the reality that you are one with God, because if it doesn't apply to everybody, then it doesn't apply to you either. So the only people, and let me make this very clear, the only people on earth, the only people on earth who know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are one with God with no doubts in their heart or mind are those who know that everyone is at one with God.
Well, I can already tell you that's going to be Mary Keller's favorite line of the show tonight. For those of you who are on Facebook and the Friends of Mike Williams and Gospel Revolution Facebook page, you know that Mary makes her comments every week, her favorite lines of the
show.
I mean, there may be other favorite lines, but that is so profound what you just said. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's night number two of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. We need your help, and we are looking for donations, large or small. Just go to gospelrevolution.com and click on the donate button in the middle of the homepage and do your best and let us know here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com what you did. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Online with us now is the guy that was in the list of contributors thus far from boldgrace.com, from Monahinga, Pennsylvania. Mr. George Howell. George!
Hello, gentlemen. Great greetings from the great state of Virginia.
Oh, you're in Virginia. You know, Virginia is for lovers, Georgie.
Yeah, that's my home state. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, my hometown.
Oh, awesome.
You have business or are you on personal time?
No, I'm on business, and it just so happens this is my hometown, so I get to see, you know, some people that I haven't seen for a while. I got to see my mother yesterday and headed back to Pennsylvania tomorrow. But I called because I had two questions or two statements. The first being, just recently I realized the gospel has turned me against the death penalty. Would you
why
like to know
that,
why?
George? Yeah, why?
Well, see, I believed in the death penalty because, you know, that people deserve whatever they deserve. But then I realized, you know, the death penalty gives people the ultimate reward. And I don't want them suckers to get no reward yet. I want them to suffer as long as they can.
Georgie. You know,
you want them to live in hell before they get to hell.
I used to be against the death
penalty. I want them to live in suffering, that's right.
Well, I was against the death penalty when I was in the church because I wanted to give them an opportunity to repent and go to heaven. And because I actually believed that you needed to do that, and I wanted everybody to get in. But I guess, Michael, that's as good a reason as any to be against the death penalty. Or maybe I could think of better reasons, but nonetheless.
Well, it's a reason, that's for sure.
The other thing was, it's on the lines of Mike's teaching about ministry, bringing relief. And not, did you guys get my email about that?
I did, and I chuckled. Please share it with the world.
Well, it occurred to me that maybe Michael needs to redefine, is there ministry and is there spiritual ministry or Christ ministry, and are they different? Because if bringing relief makes people in ministry, then a prostitute would be in the ministry.
That is true. It's just not the gospel ministry.
Okay, but it's not the gospel ministry. So, I knew the answer to that, but I thought, does that make a prostitute the minister of the gospel? No, it makes her a minister, but not of the gospel.
Absolutely, and you could call anyone who brings relief. However, when your relief comes with potential disease and other side effects, it might not be real ministry.
And I think everybody knows what we're talking about here is spiritual relief.
Yes, absolutely.
It brings an easing of the conscience, and that the conscience is cleared.
That brings up a really good point, Michael, because does it bring spiritual relief, the understanding of one's holiness and righteousness regardless of belief or action, or does it bring emotional relief?
Well, it would be both. It's spiritual relief to the soul, I think, would be the full statement that I would make about it. It's just like spiritual understanding, but it's spiritual understanding, but it's not for the spirit. It's spiritual understanding for the soul, like spiritual gifts. It's spiritual gifts, but it's not spiritual gifts for the spirit. It's spiritual gifts for the soul.
It's good stuff. Well, Georgie, thank you so much, buddy.
Okay, Doug.
A lot of freedom.
I did double my monthly pledge last week. I talked to you about it, Glenn. So.
Yeah, it's a done deal, and thank you so much, and you're going to be getting... all three thank you gifts. That's Michael's teaching CD from the Tavern in Wisconsin entitled True Conversion, and Grant Miller's book, Think and Be Free, and Kate Benham's music CD, Eat It In Me. So you'll enjoy all those, I'm sure.
I have one question real quick. The lady from the Tavern, what is her name, Mike?
Kathy Price.
Okay. She left just a quick comment on the Friends of Gospel Revolution. Did you cut anything out? And I got a chuckle out of that because I think there must have been something blue in the presentation.
Well, let's just say that the CD will be labeled with appropriate bar room language.
Nice.
Nice. You'll enjoy that.
Faulty. Not anything over the top, but it was
right.
It was barroom appropriate salty for sure.
Exactly, and that's it was real ministry.
There you go.
It's interesting that we call it salty language, and we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. So
exactly.
Oh, what an excuse!
Hey, gentlemen,
just pointing interesting things out. Thank
you.
How's
it going?
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's George Howell calling us from Virginia tonight. Richmond, Virginia, the former capital of the Confederacy.
I used to live just north of Richmond in Fredericksburg for a period of time.
Richmond, of course, the former capital of the United Confederate States of America. No, what do they call it? Confederate States of America.
Right.
So it was the capital of slavery. And now we have a guy proclaiming freedom for all humanity from Richmond. That's,
liberty.
That's a good turn of events.
It is a good one.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that line is available for you now at 1-800-436-3226 to get on the phone. And we need somebody to get online and participate financially with this Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. And so... call us, 1-800-436-3260. We just got a $100 donation, Michael, from Dr. Tom Ratke of beautiful Greenfield, Wisconsin, not too far from where you were, Milwaukee suburb. Tom is dear friend of mine, and really happy to have him on board.
Thank you, Dr. Tom.
Tom Radke with $100. So now we're looking for people to make a... you just got another one in. Tim Knappenberger emailing $100 in.
Yay, Timmy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where's Knappenberger?
Do one of those a minute, we'll be doing fine.
Where does he live?
I don't remember.
Well, Tim, email us your shipping address, too, please, so we can get you the thank you gifts.
Absolutely.
So he wrote also a relatively long email, which I'm going to read to get your comments, because Tim's always good with his insights and questions. He says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I've been listening to Mike's series on Isaiah. Though it dates to 2001, it is as timely as ever.
Okay.
I've especially enjoyed Mike's dealing with the children of Israel's loss of identity, of knowing who and whose they were, and how that all translates to modern-day evangelical Christians. Anywho, at one point, Mike, you talked about how people have told you you need to go back into the evangelical churches and give them this message of gospel of grace. You answered, believe me, I tried, and they simply don't want to hear it. Some thoughts," he says. "I agree that whatever we want to call ourselves and whatever we've come to believe about how God operates and how he extends his grace to mankind, it is a message that will not be received nor heard until something within the person begins reaching out to find it. We are not to go back into the organized religion, but rather we're to be waiting outside the gates for those who left the city to find God. How we let them know that there's a growing number of us waiting outside is a task less through this internet broadcast and Facebook, I guess. Another thought. Our foundations and securities in life are built upon the slimmest and thinnest of threads. Slight disruptions in our morning grooming routines can throw the rest of the day out of whack for us. Try brushing your teeth with the opposite hand, or stopping by a restaurant you've never entered before for your morning cup of joe, to see how easily befuddled we get over the most minor of changes.
No.
My point in pointing this out is to have all of us who have come out of religion remember how threatening and unsettling it is for folks whose entire existence has been grounded in religion be told that their existential foundation and understanding of God is seriously flawed. One might as well spit in the face of their dear sainted grandmother as to suggest that their concept of God is founded more on man's teachings than what Scripture actually teaches. Question, what to do? Answer, go back to my first thought. We should only engage them in sharing the marvelous understanding and divine freedom many of us have come to after they've poked their noses outside the city gates. In other words, allow their searching hearts and spirits to open the dialogue with us. I don't think any of us in this gospel revolution movement should ever go knocking on anyone's door figuratively and literally uninvited. Lord knows there are enough evangelicals, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormons doing that. God bless you, brothers. The three heretical amigos, Tom, Tim, and Rick, still faithfully plumb the gospel revolutionary depths each and every Sunday morning. We hear there may be a Columbus, Ohio gathering of us outsiders in the works. Bring it on. And that's Tim Knappenberger.
Oh, that's awesome. Makes me want to make sure we get our meeting together up there in Columbus. That'd be wonderful.
And that's Tim lives in Canton, Ohio, by the way.
Yes. Close enough,
Ohio,
though, for him.
Well represented again. So, I mean, all right, so that's a really well-written and well-thought-out letter by Tim Knappenberger of Canton, Ohio. Michael, one of the things that I know I don't know if you do it purposely, or I guess you do it on purpose because you're very well aware of it, is you don't share the gospel with people, even as you travel and meet folks. You make them pull it out of you if it comes out at all.
Yeah, that's what I am comfortable with, and Tim's. I'm really glad that you brought up that series on Isaiah. I'm not even sure that we have that on CD. If we do, Tim, email us and let me know. I would love to really encourage people to get that series that that I did on Isaiah. We did cover the entire book. We didn't cover it verse by verse, but we did cover the entire book of Isaiah and the whole theme of Isaiah and what the problem was. We identified the problem in the very first chapter or two, and then identified what God was going to do to resolve the problem. It really is a very powerful prophecy for sure. I hope to understand more and more as the years go on. But yeah, you know, the thing that I am totally convinced of, and I think the way Tom put it, until something inside of them reaches out, I really do believe that the gospel matches every heart on the face of planet Earth. But as long as their heart is just covered with legalism and the self-righteous nature that we seem to fall to quite easily, until there's something that reaches out past that self-righteousness for an answer, it's probably not a whole lot of hope. And it's not that there aren't the situations where that somebody can speak into your life in a shocking way. I've certainly had it happen to me, to where that something even in an adverse situation, somebody can speak a line of truth. It's happened to me in the church in Birmingham that I shared about probably last week, I believe it was, or week before. And it shook me to my soul to realize the truth I already knew. It wasn't something I didn't know, but I'd never allowed my mind to even think it. And when he said it in words, it connected with my heart very fully. It took me years to resolve that and to actually open my mouth and say I was thankful for that day and for that comment that day. But I am thankful for that day and that comment because it was part of my salvation. Saving to my soul that took place. But in my daily life, pretty much nobody knows what I do. Happy to talk about it with anybody, and I'm all the time kind of, you know, I always kind of have those feelers out there. You know, you're aware of your surrounding and aware of kind of where people are coming from, or at least you're getting to know that. And you know, if I feel an openness to it in any way, I'm sure I would enjoy sharing, as I do enjoy sharing the gospel, which I think is quite obvious. But I want to do it in a way to where that it is productive. And the one thing for me is that I learned a long time ago is I don't answer questions that haven't been asked. If I were to do anything as far as looking for a way to share the gospel with more people, I would be looking for ways to create questions for them. And because until the question's asked, you're really trying to feed something that's not hungry. You're trying to water something that's not thirsty. But the question is, to me, when the question comes, even if the question is just a bit perturbed at maybe some comment that I've made, I know that there's at least a thirst there if there's a real question that comes out instead of just a defense.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I think a way to do that that is not as confrontational as a face-to-face meeting, and it gives something for people to think about without having to deal with the emotion and the body language and everything that happens in interpersonal communication, is just to share a CD with somebody. And
oh, yeah.
And the first time that Stephen Dene Martindale gave me a cassette tape of yours back in the day, when you were just teaching the gospel of grace and peace, was they just said, we heard this, listen to it.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and I couldn't quite believe what I was hearing. But I was able to listen to it in my car when I was driving without having to be confronted. And and at that point, it was just a matter of dominoes for me.
Yeah.
And so this is something that you can do, folks, with so many. I mean, every one of the teaching CDs, and it doesn't make a difference if it's an individual CD or a CD that's part of a series. Every single CD contains the gospel. And you can go to gospelrevolution.com, and all the teachings that are that we have on CD are listed there. And it seems, Michael, that that is a very good way, and of course people have done this with your teachings for decades now, as they've even been translated into Chinese, and they've gone around the world, is that they just give a CD, or years ago, a cassette tape, for people to listen to and to consider. And if there is anything in their heart, and I want to get back to that when you said that the gospel is, I don't exactly know how you said it, but is congruent with everybody's heart.
Yes.
Or that it fits everybody's heart. But our hearts have been so polluted through Christianity and legalism. What do you mean specifically that it fits with every heart, regardless of their background?
Well, I really do concur with the prophet that through Christ that God placed a new heart in all of us, the entire human race. As Isaiah said, that that he would take out the stony heart, which it's interesting that he uses the term stony, since the law was written on stone. But then it says that he took out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh at the cross. Now, that has to apply to everyone, or it's not truth.
All right, Mikey, I've got to interrupt you, because without going into great detail, you did answer the question, because online with us right now, calling us from Angela C., Victoria, Australia, is the performer, the musician, the artiste of Eden in Me, the new music CD that is part of our thank you package for your gifts of $100 or more on this spring pledge drive, all the way from Aussie land, Kate Benham. Kate!
Hey, Glenn and Mike. How are you going?
Good. How are you? Sorry to keep you waiting.
Hi, Kate.
That's fine. Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you guys finally after all this time.
it is so wonderful to hear your voice and have been enjoying to hear your voice on your music CD, Eden in Me. What time is it there in Australia?
It is, let me check my watch, 20 to 12, so 20 to noon on Thursday.
Okay, so we can safely say that the rapture has not happened as of Thursday, May 20th, then.
Definitely not.
Okay. just checking.
Yep. We'll let you know if anything happens.
All right, keep us posted.
Okay.
So the music CD, Kate, is just, it's so wonderful, and Michael had a tremendous response to hearing your music when he received it in Houston. Michael, why don't you explain, I think you've told Kate, but why don't you explain to everybody why that was such a powerful moment for you?
Yeah, and Kate, thank you so much for calling in. It's I love hearing your voice, regardless of what it's saying. and one of the reasons is not just because Kate and her husband both are just such sweet people, and they've had such a tremendous experience in the gospel, but she sent me her first CD, and I actually lay on my sofa with my Bose system on, and I put that CD in, and, you know, I wasn't sure what it would be. And I just lay there on my sofa listening to this voice just wash over me, and hearing in this song for the first time. Now, let me tell you, for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel being sang back to me. The gospel with nothing else in it, as far as, you know, like gospel music. You know, it's a shame that we've got more gospel in secular music sometimes than we do in what is called Christian music, for sure.
Right.
But in Kate's music, it's all scriptural. It is all the revelation of the gospel. And And even the title of the CD, I remember years ago, the first time that I taught about how that, you know, Christianity is trying to get us back into the garden, but God said no man would ever enter the garden again. And I, the concept, or that reverse concept then, which so many things about the gospel is that God did not allow us back into the garden. He had a better plan. He put the garden in us, which is the kingdom of God now as we understand it. And thus, the as Kate has explained, the title of her CD, and I'm hearing these words sang back to me, and that particular song is, Kate, is just I can play it over and over and over again and never get tired of it. So wow. Yeah, it's a tremendous experience. Everyone that is listening that will get the CD, you're going to want more of them for sure. So we're going to make sure that you are able to get in contact with Kate and order as many of these as you can, because this is one of those things, Glenn, that her words are so filled with the gospel, the absolute truth of the gospel, the oneness of the entire world in Christ. You can give somebody a music CD and talk about non-confrontational. It's Kate's voice in her songs. It's so non-confrontational yet saturated with the truth. If you want to share the gospel with somebody and not give them a teaching CD, they won't know they're getting a teaching CD, but Kate's music is filled with the teaching of the gospel. And, yeah, it had a powerful impact. I wept. I could not believe for the first time in my life I was hearing the gospel out of gospel music and nothing but the gospel and the entirety of the gospel. It was awesome. I really appreciate it, Kate. I'm a big fan of yours.
Wow. Thank you. You're a good teacher.
Thank you.
Yeah, that blew me away also to know that had that effect on you. That was just such a blessing to us, you know, and I just hope it has that effect on other people also. I'm sure it will. Yeah, thank
you. I am absolutely sure it will. It's the truth. And the talent behind it is just really awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Who influenced you musically, Kate?
I guess from a young child, I always played by ear. My father's mother, so my grandmother on my father's side, played and taught people the Hawaiian lap steel guitar. So she taught me when I was, I must have been 6 or 7. And then we had a little keyboard in the house, so I was playing that. So I kind of taught myself. And now I don't know who I've been influenced by, but some people try and work out what kind of sound I have. I don't know what it is. But I just let it all flow out, I guess.
Yeah.
And, so I play by ear. And, usually when I'm writing a song, I'll just sit at the piano and just hit something. Jeff, my husband, is just, he used to say to me, you know, just come and hit something. And he plays the Irish Barin, and he said he would just hit something and then just start singing, you know, and just see what comes out. And so I started doing that, so I start in these weird keys. My second album that I'm doing soon in July, actually in Nashville. The songs are a little different again, and I'm a bit more advanced, I guess, as a songwriter, and a little more used to now what I'll be doing. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. But just starting off and see where it goes, and see what comes out. And this wonderful truth that we have of the gospel that I know now, I just cannot sing anything else. I can't sing anything powerless. I can't sing anything defeatist. I just would like the world to know the truth, because we've all been lied to for so long. And freedom is a wonderful thing, and I don't think you realize how unfree you are until you start to come out of it. And that was a real twinkling of an eye experience for me, coming out of religion and daring to believe. You know, the gentleman you had on last week about with his book, Think and Be Free, I thought that is so true, because religion, I think, teaches us not to think. And I had to actually physically, something changed in my brain where I had to allow myself to see. I can remember the moment Jeff and I were sitting up in Cairns, northern Queensland, really tropical place. We were at a conference up there, and the pastor up there was preaching that perhaps, you know, Jesus had redeemed the entire human race. And I had to physically allow myself to dare to see it, to even contemplate the thought. And as soon as I did, my eyes were just opened. I just will never, ever forget the moment. And and I just said to Jeff, and I had tears in my eyes, and I just said, look at them. You look at how beautiful they are, and they're all okay. I couldn't believe it. And ever since then, these, you know, bands of religion have just been coming off my thinking. And you don't realize, I think, how bound you are until you start to come out and realize the wonderful work that, you know, Jesus did do for us all.
That is so true. What was your initial exposure to the Gospel Revolution?
I can't remember. I think it was in 2008. And we found you online. I think we firstly found the Gospel Logic site, and that's exactly what it is. It was so logical. Suddenly everything made sense. And I realized I'd been going through the motions, been brought up in church, been in Christianity my whole life. And really there was unanswered questions, there was cliches, there was just things that you were led to believe, which really I did not know the answer for. It did not make sense, but it seems like no one is brave enough to come and bring that up and ask these questions. And certainly I believe if you are, you'll probably be excommunicated. So, you know, the whole thing, so it was through Gospel Revolution, through the Gospel Logic site. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we found you, the Glenn Klein online, through there, about 2 years ago.
Evangelicalism obviously exists in all Western cultures, but there's been a growing movement in Australia towards the mega churches and the charismatic Word of Faith churches, of course, Hillsong, with a huge worldwide following now. But what is your experience with people in Australia responding to the gospel when you've had a chance to share it with them?
Yeah, well, we have found people who have not been in religion who accept it more. It seems that they just agree with you straight away. My husband had an experience, he's great, he'll just come and chat to anybody, and I think we were in this little hippie shop down here with some really groovy clothing in that we like to go to, and one day I was in the changing room trying something on and I heard Jeff say, you know, I don't believe in equality for women. And I thought, oh no, this woman's going to jump the counter at you, Jeff. And and then he said, because and he said, because if I believe that, well, I believe that you're lesser than me. And then he spoke about oneness, and she's going, that is so refreshing to hear that. You know, and he just shared the gospel with her that way. But, you know, the message of oneness, it is that heart that you're saying before, Mike, that new heart that's been put in us. And that is the garden, and, you know, it is in all humanity. So we have found the easiest people to speak to about it are those who don't have that arguing mindset against it. We've had a few who have been in Christianity who have dared to see it and come out to freedom. But, we've got a road to go, don't we?
We have a ways to go, and we have a long ways to go in the United States. We'll be sharing a little bit about that later on in the program, but Australia seems to be a freer place than the United States.
I was going to comment that I thought you guys seem more open than us. But, you know, I don't know.
I've known many people from Australia from my years running the summer camp in Wisconsin. We used to have a lot of guys come over from Australia. And those were amongst the most fun-loving, open, just energetic, free-spirited people you'd ever want to meet. But, you know, obviously it was a small sampling. But that's been my impression with the few Aussies that I've come across. But I guess people that are bound in religion, it doesn't make a difference where they come from. And in the same vein, Kate, I guess people that have been freed by the gospel, it doesn't make a difference what their background is either.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know,
I think,
Kate,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, probably from that, yeah, we are all pretty cruisy, I guess, a relaxed type of people. And, yeah, sorry, I do see what you mean. Sorry, Mike, yeah.
No, not at all. I wanted to make sure we heard what you were saying. I just wanted to relate to you a time, it's probably 15 years ago, and I remember speaking down south And I had just finished up a seminar at a church where I had then been ushered out again, which that happened a lot back then.
Wow.
When you say down south, do you mean down south U.S. or down south Australia?
Yeah, not down under, down south.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was in the down in the Alabama area. And I remembered there were people who understood what I was saying. There were those who were angry about what I was saying. There were those that there was just all kinds of responses. It was just, and I walked away from there, as in all of those situations, with my heart in fragmented in so many ways as to based on the response that I got from so many different people. And the pastors were just almost always angry, that was just pretty well standard from there. And then we had a lot of other responses from there on down. But as I drove away, I remembered I was listening to the radio. I just turned on some music, and I think it was Elton John that was on, and I was thinking about how that Elton John's music and his songs transcended all cultures around the world, and that through a song he was able to really touch the lives of multiple millions of people around the planet, of different languages even. It just didn't even seem to make any difference if it was the right language. And I remembered and of course I've just come from a very intense emotional experience of being pulled every direction in this meeting, and I broke and I started crying. I was weeping very profusely as I was driving the car, and I just this prayer was just coming out of my heart, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, please send the song. I don't even know that I knew what was in my heart that I was saying, but I knew that the gospel in song would be so powerful, and I just wanted so much. I've never really cared how someone gets the gospel, whether I'm included in the equation or not, just is completely irrelevant to me. And I just wanted there to be someone somewhere who could put a song to the gospel, and it really reached past all of those barriers. And I think that was one of the things, Kate, that I had such a tremendous response to your CD. And then I have to tell everybody, I have had the rare privilege to have already heard Kate's next CD, which is not even out yet. They're actually going to Nashville in July, I believe it is, to record this. And I got to hear it this past month, actually. I got the her dry run of it, I suppose you would say.
You got the pirate copy.
I did, and it was awesome. And I said, and of course, it's just Kate and her piano, and all of the other music will be added. But believe me, oh my gosh, this is her second album is just so amazing. In fact, I got a message from her that there's some things that she's changed in it, just simply because of her understanding of the gospel is growing. I don't know what could have changed, because I thought it was marvelous anyway. But hearing the song coming.
That there is freedom, and there is a recognition, and there is a changing of the mind, but that the understanding continues as a process that we don't believe will ever end. I mean, the depth of God's love for everyone and the magnitude of what that means is an ongoing process. It's called salvation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm still here. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is. And
are you going to be in Nashville on a Wednesday night in July?
Yes, I am.
Would you please, we'll be in touch, obviously, between now and then, but will you join us when you're in Nashville?
Yeah, sure.
That's
yep,
awesome.
Yep, I will. All
what,
right.
What's Jeff doing right now?
Now, he's out and about. I don't know where he's gone.
All right, well, give him our love,
street.
Will you?
He may be back. Thank you, I will.
Yes. Thank you, Kate, so much. You and Jeff both are tremendous encouragement and blessing to my heart personally. And
thank you, Mike.
I'm honored
thank
to get
you
to thank
well.
You for that.
Thank
all
you
right,
so
Kate.
Much. We're honored too.
Thanks for calling and thanks for participating in this pleasure drive with your CD.
No worries at all. My pleasure. The least I could do.
Okay,
thank
honey.
You.
Have a good day. Have a good Thursday.
Thank you. You too,
good
guys. Bye.
Good day.
Bye.
There's Kate Bedham.
Yeah.
Sounds like she was just next door.
I know.
But all the way from Aussie land.
Yeah, land I'm really looking forward to people getting this CD. And not just this CD, but believe me, there will be a multitude of CDs coming from Kate. Her second one, her first one is just really wonderful. Her second one is even better, and if it could be better, but it was amazing to me also, and I only heard it with her and a piano without all of the backup music with it. So,
I mean, that's a serious commitment to come from Australia to Nashville to record a Gospel Revolution CD.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you guys that have signed up and who are getting this CD, I'm telling you, you are going to be it's going to be a really wonderful experience for you to hear the words of the gospel in these beautiful songs of Kate's and the lyrics that she and her husband have put down, and really is just tremendous. I'm very grateful for it.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams. It's Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive 2010. We need to hear from you. That line is available that Kate was on, and that means you should call us at 1-800-436-3260. We've still got half an hour at least left of night number two, and we're over $2,000 with Tim Knappenberger's gift of $100 and Tom Radke's gift of $100. We're over $2,000 now. But, we're thankful, but it's only 10% of where we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing of it is this, if everybody participates, it will only be 10% for a short period of time, for sure. Especially the number of people that are touched by the gospel. You know, I've taught a good enough gospel to free people from the requirement of giving, for sure. So,
well, you've proven that already, that's for sure.
We have definitely walked people into a great freedom, but we know that the people who have heard the gospel, they are generous people, and they are thankful people, and I know that they want to participate in this. If there's something that I could do to help facilitate their giving hearts, I would do it, but the only thing I know to do is to present this to everyone and give you the opportunity, because we can't, I can't at all present you with some promise of some return of some way, except just the joy of knowing that you're helping to touch the lives of other people, and that's what keeps me going. That's why I do what I do, is just literally out of the sheer joy of seeing the results. And so we're just asking people to participate in those results.
And here's what you do, folks. You just go to gospelrevolution.com, and you page down and click on donations or please donate. And that'll send you to the pledge page or the donation page. And you can make a one-time gift. You can make a monthly donation. It'll be automatically received each month. Large gifts, small gifts, anything in between. And for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or a total of monthly giving over a year, you will receive the three thank you gifts, which is Michael's teaching from Wisconsin on true conversion, which was recorded at the bar in Janesville with the aforementioned Kathy Price. It includes Kate Benham's music CD, who you just heard, Eden in Me from Australia, and Grant Miller from Indiana, his book, Think and Be Free. So these are great gospel-related items that will encourage your heart, and that is our pleasure to deliver to you. So please participate at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, and you'll never guess who just sent another C-note. Yeah, you would guess, actually, probably.
Yeah.
Richard
Moe. Yeah.
With $100 from California.
Jeez. Richard, you are relentless, bro.
God. Is Richard made a commitment to come to Calgary yet, do you know?
He can't. He was coming and was looking forward to it, and his work there created a particular project that is going to be taking place right through the time of the convention, and he had to cancel his plans. So, I would love for Richard to be there, and he knows that, and always miss him when he can't come to these events, because if anybody enjoys it more than Richard, I'm just not sure if that could possibly be. That is for sure.
But he's so much to enjoy himself.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, he's beautiful humans. There's going to be a lot of wonderful people to meet in heaven, but there's going to be nobody better to meet than Richard Moe.
Yeah.
Believe me, this guy is a character. And he's got such a heart of giving, and he loves the gospel and loves Michael so much. And thanks, Richard, and thanks for all your emails that you send to me, but you don't send to Michael. And we'll just leave it at that.
Let me tell
this
you.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We got a half an hour to go yet. We want to hear from you, and we do have somebody very integral in this whole operation at this point calling from beautiful Houston, Texas. Mr. Jeffrey Robertson is on the phone. Jeff!
Hey, guys, how are you?
Jeff, I haven't talked to you in so long. It's so good to hear from you.
I know, I missed you.
Well, you know who has missed you, because you were a relative frequent caller on this program. We haven't heard your voice since you made the big move to Houston, so we're glad to have you on the program.
Well, I've done that on purpose, actually. I did find out that I've had a number of people ask me to call in, and I'm like, no, this is a transition I'm going through, so I'd rather hear you call in. But they wouldn't either, so go figure. But I really don't want to take up any time. I just wanted to, I'm so glad that Kate called in, because I have had the privilege of listening to Kate's CD. And I've also had the privilege of talking to so many people who have listened to Mike, and they all seem to have the same response. When they listen to Mike's teachings, it's like Mike puts everything in order for them. Mike has a way of delivering the gospel that is truly a gift. And when I listened to Kate's CD, to her music, to her words, to her beautiful voice, she can deliver the gospel to your heart, and you are enveloped in a wonderful grace and a wonderful peace. And I just want everybody to know that if you get this CD, you are going to cherish it like you cherish the teachings of Mike Williams. It's a beautiful, beautiful CD. So I don't want to take any more time. I just wanted to let everybody know this is something truly, truly special.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, you're truly, truly special.
It really is very special. And I would rather listen to Kate than I would to me. So there you go.
Well, yeah. Nobody likes to hear themselves talk.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, my friend.
Well, there are some. That's true.
Yeah, I think we have a president right now. And a host of a webcast.
There you go. It takes one to know one, doesn't it?
Indeed. All right, man. Thank you for sharing.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you
later.
Love you, Jeffrey. Love you, too.
All right. Bye.
There's Jeff Robertson. And for those of you who follow this thing, whether it be on the webcast or through the emails or Facebook, you know that Jeff is getting more and more involved in the gospel revolution. As, you know, we have that wonderful intro. In fact, at this point, Sean, can you fire up that intro? I think we, for those that are joining us in the midst of night number two of the Gospel Revolution Pledge Drive for spring 2010, and you might not have heard the beginning of the show, this is from Robert Moore. Can you do that, Sean?
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
That is awesome. We are all righteous.
That's good stuff.
Did you hear that?
I heard
Michael,
that.
Michael, there are people all over the planet that are producing music CDs and books and intros to radio shows that understand, number one, that we're all righteous. But here's an incredibly stabilizing universal truth. They know why.
Yeah.
It's not just wishful thinking.
Yeah.
It's not just, wouldn't it be great if it were true?
Yeah.
Why are you so definitive and so settled in your heart that everybody is righteous?
Well, it's the gospel. It was the work of the cross. It was foretold by the prophets. It was completed through death, burial, and resurrection. And every subject of the gospel tells us that we are all righteous, that we're all one. If everyone's not righteous, no one's righteous. And to say that if there's anyone who is not righteous is to say that Jesus himself is not righteous. Because the righteousness that we've partaken of is not of our own, not of our own participation. We have the heritage of being the righteousness of God, and it has nothing to do with our performance or our belief. It has to do with our birth, and that birth has nothing to do with us either, that spiritual birth that took place 2,000 years ago when Jesus, coming out of the grave, defeating sin and the grave completely, rising from the dead, and bringing all of the human race with him into a, quote, born-again experience, born-again position, if you will, in relationship to God.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not experiential in the sense of a one-time act. It's experience for all humans, regardless of what they believe or what they've experienced in their lives.
It is reality. It's not an experience at all. We hope everybody experiences the reality, but the reality is there to be experienced. You don't believe so you can have reality. Reality is not born out of what we do. What we do is born out of reality. And sometimes it's in denial to reality. And all religion that's on the face of this earth is there due to the denial of reality. And every instruction on this planet of how to be right with God is there due to a denial of reality, because the reality is that we are all one with God and we are all righteous, everyone. And I think Kate really described it very well about the binding religion around her brain, and how that those bands of religion, you know, the bands of religion have given way to the wisdom of the gospel, to the wisdom of God's grace. The bands of religion have given way to the wisdom of God's grace. And those, and you can almost hear those bands popping away as the reality of oneness begins to settle in, as the reality of peace and all hostility being resolved begins to settle into the heart. When the reality begins to set in, that there's no performance, no belief, nothing that is required, that all things required were met through the cross. All things that were required were met through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Because the scriptures are not about us. The scriptures are about Jesus, as Jesus made that very clear. So all of the scriptures about all of this was made flesh. That is the most powerful thing you will ever know, is that all of God's Word became a human being. All demand that we believe, all demands for faith, all demands for law, all demands, all of the law, all of the prophets took on a body. It took on a body of a human being, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now we dwell in Him and He in us. But the metamorphosis, if you will, of all of God's Word becoming a human being, it's vital to know that the Word of God was not, all of it was about Jesus. Because if it wasn't about Jesus, the Word of God could not have become flesh in the body of Jesus unless it was all about Jesus. That's why when we look at this powerful truth, when you look at judgment, you can't look at judgment without looking at the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There is no scripture, there is no law, there is no prophecy that you have a right to a personal or private interpretation to, because all law and all prophecy is about Jesus.
So, Michael, what about all the verses, and this would kind of get into Tim Dappenberger's point about how to share or who to share it with. What would you say to somebody? Say, well, what about all the verses, Mike Williams, that says, okay, Jesus did this to give you an option, because look at all these verses in the New Testament writings that say you must believe in order to appropriate that righteousness.
Absolutely, and that was the embodiment of the Word made flesh. And the prophecies and the warnings of destruction, they were all there. But you see, the prophets never foretold of a Savior. The prophets foretold of the requirements. The law gave the requirements. The prophecies foretold of the judgment that was coming, because the requirements of faith and trust and total reliance and obedience to God was not being met. And that all, there was none righteous, no, not one, in the eyes of God, based on the new covenant, all the way up through the life and the teaching of Jesus, which that's what Jesus was trying to, and eloquently did, I take back the word trying, I think he eloquently did, is to convince people that they all are unqualified. And there's so many places that I could go to right now as far as Jesus expressing that lack of qualification on the part of human beings. But the prophets never foretold of an optional redemption. The prophets never told of a selective redemption. The prophets never told of a redemption that had a requirement on it for mankind. The prophets foretold of a redemption that would be complete, that would be absolutely in totality, including all of the human race, before and after the cross, and included in an absolute and total unity of the entire human race.
All right, because, so then what was up with the teachings of Peter and James and John in the New Testament that put those requirements on the human race? What's up with that?
Yeah, not only put those requirements on, but Peter and James and John also make it very clear that they believed in a future judgment. And you just have to understand that this entire new series that is coming out that was done in Augusta is dealing with this. But you see, it is time that that those who are made righteous, and that is everyone, as Isaiah 54 says, the very last verse in the chapter that declares that the gospel of peace and says that the covenant of God's peace, once it's established, that covenant will never be removed off the earth, and concludes with this understanding, and says and every tongue that rises in judgment, he's speaking about after the gospel of peace has become a covenant that we have with God, that God made for us toward the human race with Christ, actually, to put it absolutely accurately. Once that covenant has been sealed, he says that it will never, ever, ever be removed off of the earth, and concludes in that chapter with, "And every tongue that rises in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God." So everyone who knows that they've been made righteous through the work of the cross, your heritage is to condemn all teaching of judgment coming after the cross, no matter who it comes from, including Peter, James, and John.
Saying, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is the report of Michael's time of sharing in Augusta. You're saying that we, if our heritage, and we understand our heritage of peace with God and righteousness in God and the fulfillment of the Messiah, if we're part of that heritage and understand it, that we have to condemn the teachings of Peter and James and John?
Yeah, I wouldn't even put it in a voice of saying that you have to, but it is your heritage. And it is your heritage. It is my heritage. And I openly condemn the teachings of Peter, especially, and you know, if you read 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3, where he is defying the teachings of liberty and freedom, and warning people that that none of this is true, and that judgment is coming upon the earth, and I have to stand up and say I condemn that teaching. And people would say, how can you be so brazen as to condemn the teachings of the first pope of the Catholic Church? Well, I do it, and it's not a great joy that I do it with. I did this for the first time in Augusta. And openly condemned the judgment teachings of Peter after the cross, because they are there, and I cannot ignore them.
You're not a very good Christian, Michael, if you're condemning St. Peter's teaching.
No, I am not a good Christian at all.
Yeah, I think we've already established that.
Absolutely.
I'm not a good Christian either, ladies. I'm a very bad, bad Christian. In fact, I'm not a Christian at all. This Glenn Online, glad to have you with us at night number two of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive 2010. And we have online with us one of the strongest supporters of the Gospel Revolution around the world. We've heard from Virginia tonight. We've heard from Wisconsin. We've heard from Indiana. We've heard from Texas. We've heard from Australia. And now we go to Canada, to Calgary, to be specific. Our host for the Grace Conference presents Gospel Revolution Convention number 3, coming next month already. We cannot believe it's almost here. Mr. Vic Dobrennan. Vic!
How you doing, you guys? Enjoying
we're
the
having
conversation
fun. Can
here
you tell?
Listening to you guys.
Can you tell
it's
we're
good.
Having fun?
Yeah, I just want to say, Mike, right on. I'm reading a very interesting book called Misquoting Jesus. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
I have.
By Bart Ehrman. He's a PhD. I think he's somewhere in the States. Now, this book, Misquoting Jesus, talks about how we got our New Testament today, and especially in the first 300 or 400 years of the New Testament formation and the canonization and that whole process. Now, he's made a study of that. That's his whole work. That's his life. that's his life's work,
yeah.
Doing that. I only put my personally, I'm putting less and less weight on the New Testament writings, Mike. You know, like you began this teaching. I'm going to blame you. You began this teaching a while back, you know, where we talked about the scriptures and the Old Testament in particular, how important the Old Testament is. And when Jesus refers to the scriptures in the New Testament, he's not talking about anything that Paul wrote or Peter or James,
right,
or any of those guys. He's talking about the prophets. And I'm so excited about that. In this book called Misquoting Jesus, that's the title of the book. And the title tells it all, because through the years, the existing New Testament writings that we have are copies of copies of copies of copies. And the scribes who did that copying back then, they didn't have so much integrity, in the sense of, you know, they weren't 100% careful that, you know, if they didn't like the way something sounded, they would make changes.
Uh-huh.
And so what we have today is...
Wait. You're telling me that men that were in a position of power, that were trying to keep other people underneath their thumb, would actually make changes?
Well, I don't know if, like, the scribes, the people that actually rewrote these things, you got to keep in mind, back in the first 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, probably until the printing press was invented, a very minor, small part of the population could even read. So we're talking,
yeah,
maybe 5% of the population, something like that, maybe 10 at the very most. But compared to today, people were illiterate. So that's the first point. And this is during that period of time when all of this stuff was being written, and it was all written by hand. So you had Paul wrote a letter, and he gave instructions to have that letter read aloud, because most people couldn't read it. So one or two people could read, and they're the ones that read this letter aloud to a congregation. Well, in time, this letter would be copied. And what kind of controls were there? Well, there were very limited, there were very few controls. And this guy, in his book, Misquoting Jesus, this is a New York Times bestseller, by the way. And it's called Misquoting Jesus, The Story Behind Who Changed the Bible and Why. And the author is Bart D. Ehrman, Ehrman. And his background, by the way, is very evangelical. He went to Moody Bible Institute. Very evangelical background. But the more he dug into this, the more he began to see the inherent difficulties with this New Testament. And which brings me back to, Mike, you know, what you're talking about, the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures have a lot more legitimacy as such. I mean, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that confirm. These Dead Sea Scrolls were laying dormant for, 1,500 years? No, more like 1,900 years.
Right.
And they pretty well confirmed the scriptures, the Old Testament writings, hand in glove. So, you know, as Christians, we have much, much more... we can stand on the in quote scriptures, that being the Old Testament, the prophets, than we can on the New Testament writings. I would highly encourage you to read this book by this Bart Ehrman, you guys.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing too, Vic, that even if all of the New Testament was absolutely accurately translated, it still wouldn't elevate it to the level of being scripture. It would be nice to have it,
right,
to be accurately,
right,
translated. I think we could learn much more from it. But I think that the bigger challenge for most of us is to, number one, is to accept that they are not Scripture. And number two, not only are they not Scripture, but that there are people who wrote these letters who absolutely disagreed with each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even if we got an absolute accurate translation, even if somebody found the original, you know, wherever that would be,
right,
and we got an absolutely unbiased translation, we would still have people looking and seeing that there's requirements for, especially in the Gospels, as Jesus was very, very accurately teaching the law and making sure that that the revelation was full, that the law itself had a full revelation of sin, that there's no one that is righteous and no one can become righteous.
And Jesus is the Word.
Absolutely.
He is the Word incarnate.
Yeah.
You know, the whole gospel can be summed up in Jesus Christ redeemed the world, is the Redeemer of the world. And, you know, and that's it. I mean, it's all tied into Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his passion, and these were foretold in the Scriptures.
With great
details. These
events
were told, and the life of Jesus were foretold in the Scriptures, in Isaiah, and in Ezekiel, Jeremiah. You know,
from his birth, Vic, from his birth to his death, his life was documented hundreds and hundreds of years before it took place. And there is nobody else. There is no one else that
was
ever born on this planet that their entire life from birth, from conception, not from birth, from conception all the way through death, and I might say all the way through death, burial, and resurrection, no one has ever had their life documented before they got here.
And
Jesus did. His life was documented before he arrived. His conception was documented.
You know, that's not to say that the New Testament and what we have today is useless, but the thing is, what I'm saying and what I believe Mike is saying is that, you know, you the truth is embodied in the man Christ who was prophesied in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
As the Redeemer of the world.
Absolutely.
And these letters that were subsequently written, and of which we have so little remaining evidence of the actual, you know, letter written by Paul or letter written by Peter, and these scholars, when you read this book written by a scholar who has made a study, and all these guys, I'm not just talking about this guy, I'm talking about people over the hundreds of years who have analyzed the writing patterns of these letters and have been able to determine, you know, this is just not Paul's writing.
Yeah.
Paul didn't write this. You know, it may be attributed to talking about, you know, in this book. I don't have it at my fingertips, but these scholars over the centuries have come to recognize that a lot of these writings have different writing styles and characteristics, and how they pinpoint that, I'm not exactly quite sure. But they go through it in this book, and it is very interesting reading, and it just ties in exactly with what Mike has been teaching, what I'm beginning to understand. I'm sure what a lot of people are beginning. We were taught back in the word faith days, hey, this is the whole Word of God, and I believe it. That settles it, and all of the new
cover to cover.
It's not so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's liberating and it's exciting. And it's just very, to me, it's extremely interesting. It just focuses in on you know, the prophecies in the Old Testament.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you, Vic. It's not going to be long.
Well, I want to encourage all my American listeners, American friends, to come, because I just got a report from the hotel about all the bookings, and there's not too many there from the stateside, so... The Canadian dollar is down. It's down from where it was. So, you know, you can book right now, and you know, you can take advantage of the low
Canadian
dollar.
Get a discount. Yep.
So, It's all good.
Good, good. That'll give them more money to give in the offerings.
Yeah.
How's the response from the Canadian brethren?
Are you coming up to Calgary?
I'm planning on it.
All right, man. That's great news.
Yes,
glad
it is.
To hear it.
How's the response from the Canadian brethren and sisters thus far?
I think we're doing another letter, and we're following it up with some phone calls and emails, and I hope to have a better idea of exactly how many people we're going to have here. But I'm looking forward to a really good meeting and a good time of getting together and meeting people.
Really appreciate your efforts there, Vic.
Looking forward to it, Mike.
Yep.
And now that we've talked about the gospel, which, you know, granted is a fairly valuable bit of information, now we're going to get to the really heart of the matter, Vic. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup playoffs left to go?
Well, you know, I was hoping for Pittsburgh, but they were knocked out. I couldn't believe it.
You still got one Canadian team left, the Montreal Canadiens.
I don't know. I mean, they're the last Canadian club standing. I'm going to have to go with them, even though they're down right now, but they were down before.
They haven't scored a goal in two games.
In the NHL.
They haven't scored a goal in two games.
I know, but they were down
before. But how about my Chicago Blackhawks going to the West Coast of San Jose and taking the first two games at the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah.
I
got to go
team.
With Chicago this year, I guess. You know, if I was a betting man, but my heart says I got to stick with the Habs at the moment.
All right. Well, Vic is going with the Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to stick with my Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Although the Blackhawks do have some good Canadian representation on their team.
What's that?
Captain is Jonathan Toews. You know, who's on the gold medal winning team in the Olympics.
Right.
All right. Well, now we have the hockey update, ladies and gentlemen. From Vic Dobrunin of Calgary, the Calgary Flames. They didn't even make the playoffs, did they?
No. No. No, we're sucking air up here when it comes to hockey. So.
Same thing with our Tampa Bay Lightning. But I don't think anybody cares much about that that's listening to that right now, except for me and you, and maybe Ken Kemp. All right, Vic, we will see you next month. And call us between now and then, please. Just keep in touch. Let us know how it's going.
Yes, will do. And I'm looking forward to having a great meeting. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I encourage
you. You got some interesting music planned as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we got some really good music. Former backup guitar player with Tina Turner is going to be heading up the music. And we have some other special music guys too, and it's going to be fun.
Awesome.
So,
cannot wait.
All right. Take care. Have a great evening, you guys.
Make sure they have plenty of Labatt's on hand when we get there.
Oh, yeah. We got lots of that.
All right, man.
Okay.
There's Vic Dobrunin, ladies and gentlemen, in Calgary, Alberta, the home of the 2010 Third Annual Gospel Revolution Convention coming at the end of June. And you can go to gospelrevolution.com and get all the information about the convention. And I'm sure there are people right now, Michael, that are listening to us that are hemming and hawing whether they should come or not. Why should people come to the convention?
You get to see the faces of the people you only know by voice. And some of you, that includes mine.
Yes.
You ought to come and experience this, you know. I'm the one that has been so privileged as far as the vast majority of the people in the Gospel Revolution. Most of them, the vast majority of them, I've met face to face and have had the wonderful privilege of putting those voices to a face and a personality. And it's just amazing. Number one, it's just fantastic being in the presence of other people who have the understanding of the great oneness. It's wonderful to be one with everybody, but it's wonderful to be around ones who knows their ones.
And to experience what that
knows your one,
like.
Too.
to experience what that feels like, to be about around a bunch of people who aren't judging you.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing.
Wow.
And you get to come, you get to be yourself, you get to see others being themselves, and learn about the scriptures. Even though I'm going to be teaching out of the Book of Romans, you got to realize that Paul's teaching out of the Book of Romans was about the scriptures. So we'll be looking through that entire thing, and in so many places, so misunderstood is the Book of Romans. And yet, out of the Book of Romans is the only light of day that much of the church knows about the redemptive work of the cross does come from the Book of Romans. But it gets watered down by the Book of Peter and the Book of James. And but you're going to hear Paul's teaching out of the Book of Romans in context, verse by verse, from beginning all the way through the 16 chapters. And if I'm still standing, and by the end of it, I will be able to finish up Paul's last salutations, as they are plentiful for the
They're
last
voluminous.
Chapter. They are voluminous, and he loves to salutate a lot, so we'll even get through the salutations. Getting through chapter one is an amazing feat, actually. It's so taken out of context. Right from the get-go, chapter one is taken completely out of its context without the clarity that Paul adds to chapter one in chapter two. You can't understand chapter one till you read into chapter two and chapter three even. You cannot understand what Paul is trying to communicate because he creates a full picture in the first two chapters and then builds on that throughout his letter to the Romans. So we're going to study and learn and teach the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, a very important letter that Paul emphasizes the teaching of the scriptures and the validity of them and their reality.
That is awesome. Cannot wait. So just go to gospelrevolution.com and click on the information right on the homepage about the third annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary, Alberta, in June, third week of June, the end of the third week.
Yeah.
We will be there with bells on.
We're rolling on.
I want
closer.
To give a few more minutes because we had a good extended time with Vic, but we've got that line open for you if you want to make a contribution, whether it be financial or a comment or both, at the end of this second night of the pledge drive at 1-800-436-3260. Call us. If you're listening right now, we want to hear from you here at the end of the webcast. 1-800-436-3260. I would be remiss, Michael, if I did not get your comments about a story that is happening in the United States right now. And there have been basically two major institutions in the United States that apparently have no gay people involved in them, and that is major college and professional sports and country music. But this last week or so, in the last couple weeks, there was a country music star here in the U.S. named Shelley Wright who came out as a lesbian. And she was on the Oprah Winfrey Show today. And she says that she, as a young person, and this is a woman that has dated some of the most prominent country music stars in the United States, like Brad Paisley. And she says that she scoured country music history to find someone like her as she was growing up, someone different, even as a child. Shelley says she knew the truth about herself. She was a lesbian. And here is her quote. She says, "I was told in church that there were building blocks of sin and evil doing. And these words were strung together to scare me. Drunkard, thief, adulterer, homosexual." She says, "I thought, that's what I am. I prayed every day for God to change me. And it was, dear God, please don't let me be gay. I promise to be a good person. I said that prayer every day, multiple times a day. And then on the Oprah Winfrey show today, she told the story about how just 4 years ago, she held a revolver in her mouth and she was about to commit suicide over this issue. She's a very beautiful girl. There would be nothing that you would see her that would say that she was lesbian or butchy, if you will, or dykey. But she was. And she was about to kill herself, and she prayed that God would forgive her for what she was about to do. And she just started weeping, and the weight of the gun just dragged her hand from away from her mouth, and of course she never did that. And this was the first person, Michael, in country music history that has come out as a gay person. And here, just as sure as anything is sure, she learned in church that she was equal to a drunkard, a thief, an adulterer, and therefore condemned.
Mm-hmm.
This message that we share is so pivotal. It is literally saving lives, not saving people from hell, which Jesus redeemed all people from hell, but redeeming people or saving people from a life of worthlessness and guilt and condemnation. The people that are contributing financially and otherwise to this effort are making a huge difference on the planet.
It definitely are. You know, it'd been nice if they would have finished the rest of the teachings of the law that she was condemned, along with not just drunkards and fornicators, but would have included all of the other 600 and some odd laws that you'd have to extend that list to, and assure her that she was condemned, and therefore we could assure her that she's been redeemed, because only the condemned are redeemed. Only the condemned are redeemed. And that's why I won't let anybody take away the scriptures that condemns homosexuality, just like it condemns everything else on the face of the earth. Because if you take away my condemnation, you take away my redemption. And I'm glad my name's in the list. I'm glad that that I made it into the abomination category. And along with the rest of the human race, we all made it into the abomination, because now we know what it is to be freed from that abomination in the eyes of God, and to go and sin no more. It's a very powerful thing to know that sin has been resolved completely in the eyes of God. And these are issues that society must deal with, but the thing that my mission is to let people know is that heavy gun never has to be in your hand nor in your mouth. That heavy weight in your heart, that heavy shadow over your mind, the weight on your shoulders never has to be there, because the understanding of the gospel removes the heaviness from us completely, and you're clothed in a robe of righteousness and a garment of praise. And it is something to experience, because the Christianity has robbed us of this powerful revelation and the powerful truth of the only one true God and the only one and true Savior of the entire planet, and that's Jesus. It is a shame that it's more than a shame. It's a dastardly thing that the institutions that bear the name of Jesus are the ones who dishonor his name with religious bondage and lies.
But this effort, ladies and gentlemen, proclaims the truth and the ultimate call of Yeshua, of salvation on the earth. That's his actual name. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus of Zeus. His actual name was Yeshua. Best translated in English, Joshua, which literally means salvation. And this message that we're sharing right now, whether it be to Shelley Wright or Kate Benham in Australia or Victor Brennan in Canada or Jeff Robertson in Houston, it doesn't make a difference who the person is. The message, when contemplated and meditated upon, will produce oneness in people's hearts and in their souls with God and with each other. That's what your money's going for. Do you want that shared with more people? Do you want this message to go forth and to permeate the earth to the point where we touch 1,000 people, excuse me, yeah, 1,000 people, 1 billion people, before Michael's done breathing his last breath. That's our goal. We want to reach a billion people. And all you have to do as you're listening to this, whether it be live or on the archive, we're asking you to contribute financially. We only take 3 shows a quarter to directly ask for your financial giving. And we are so far from being in the black, it's not even funny. It's actually quite sad when you come right down to it. But we have no alternative but to ask for your financial support. We need your help, whether it be a $5 gift, a $10 gift, or a $10,000 gift. You know that when you make a financial contribution to the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams' ministry, that it is going to the proclaiming of our equality in God. Everybody's, whether it be the Muslim girl that just won the Miss USA contest, whether it be Shelley Wright, the country music singer, who has come out as gay, whether it be Glenn Klein, Michael Williams, Victor Brennan, Jeff Robertson, George Howell, Kate Benham, it doesn't make a difference what name you put into it. That's how powerful this redemptive work in Jerusalem was over 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Get behind it. Go to GospelRevolution.com for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or in a monthly pledge, totally $100 or more. You'll receive all 3 thank you gifts. Michael's teaching in Wisconsin that was done at the Tavern entitled True Conversion, Kate Benham's music CD entitled Eden in Me, which is all gospel, and the Gospel Revolution inspired book that Grant Miller wrote called Think and Be Free. We'll get all those 3 resources into your hands. Postage paid free of charge just for any gift equaling $100 or more. And that's about the best appeal I can make on this particular Wednesday night, Michael.
We have appealed.
We've appealed, we've asked. And you know, people have accused us of being just like every other Christian ministry and the money thing. And that's just a bunch of crap. Michael, why are we different than every other Christian ministry or any Christian ministry asking for money?
Well, first off, we're not tying this to a blessing, or it's, you know, you're giving during this time, so you get a special anointing or you get a healing. We have nothing to sell. We have nothing to manipulate and control. There is not 1 ounce of manipulation and control in the fundraising efforts. Because I don't tell people that giving will do anything for them except give them the same pleasure of helping as the joy that I have in sharing that their people are embracing in the sharing of the gospel on many other levels other than just sharing it themselves. So you will not find a Christian organization who raises funds just strictly because of the message. There will always be attached to it. If you don't give, you're going to be cursed, and if you do give, you're going to be blessed. And they say it in a million different ways, from 100 different verses, in context, out of context, but you've never heard that from here, and you never will.
And why else? are we different?
Number one is the message that we share with people. It's the, that's what makes it different.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it up to you folks. I'll tell you this. I mean, it would be our pleasure and our preference never to have to ask. Believe us.
Yeah.
And we went, when we initially started this webcast, we never asked. And how much money came in, Michael, when we never asked?
We never asked, and we never got anything.
Never got a nickel.
Yeah.
We can't do this for free, as much as we'd want to.
People enjoy it,
it is
but
not
we never
free.
Got anything.
It costs money. It's unfortunate, but it's just the reality.
Yeah.
So we're asking you to participate. We're thankful for your participation. We want to thank everybody who participated tonight financially, that called in, like George Howell, like Jeff Robertson, like Vic Dobrennan, like Kate Benham from Australia. I want to thank everybody who gave. We are at 2,000. I want to total it here real quick. To be accurate, we are at 2,000 and we're at $2,080.70 as we begin week number two. We have 21 days, so we're starting week number two, and we're over 10% there. And somebody could cut a check and get us significantly further along our $20,000 goal. But whatever you can do this week, please participate with a $10 gift, a $100 gift, a $5,000. It doesn't make a difference. Just get involved. We really need your help financially. And there's momentum building with this thing, Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is far from stale. It's far from staid. Things are moving forward. You hear the intro that Robert Moore produced. You hear Kate Benham's music CD. You see the book of Grant Miller. You hear the sharing of people like Vic Dobrennan. You know something is happening out there, and we're just encouraging folks to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
And you know, when I get one word answers from Michael, it's time to wrap it up. We're well over time on this edition of Glenn Klein Online. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for doing everything he does in the Tampa Bay studios. Again, thank you to Jeffrey Robertson for everything he's doing. And until we greet you in 1 week's time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!